Amen, amen, amen. Home of the soul,
yes,
beautiful home.
Yes,
there we shall rest, never to roam. Free from all care, happy and bright. Because Jesus is there, and he is the light. Amen. So good to be with you on this Lord's Day evening to preach the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. So good to have you here. We are small in number, but we are strong in spirit. Is that all right? I'm limping this evening because my right leg is missing.
Okay.
She missing.
All right.
But I'm going to stand tall.
Okay.
I'm going to let God hold me up.
Okay.
And he's holding her up even now at Good Samaritan Hospital. Y'all pray for Sister Veal.
Right.
She's a strong soldier. And the mind is a powerful thing. It can tell you all kinds of stuff. And when it finally talks to your body, sometimes it's too late.
Okay.
You keep telling yourself, I'll keep right on going, I'll keep right on going, I'll keep right on going. I got this to do, and I got that to do, and then I got some more to do. And your mind just keeps telling you, I got stuff to do. You know that old Isley Brothers song, I got work to do.
All right, y'all
know what I'm talking about. I got a job to do. And then the body just says, well, you've worked hard enough, and if you don't stop, we're going to give out on you. And that's what it did. The body just said, I've had enough of all this work. But the mind is still strong. But that's the thing. That's why God gave us a mind and a body so they could talk to one another. So she's learning an invaluable lesson to listen to your body before it starts to talk back to you. Amen. So grateful for all those who've labored in the services thus far. I'm going to try not to keep you long. Go with me to Galatians chapter 5, verse number 1 and verse number 13. Brother Bethea did an excellent message this morning. Was totally on point. Some of us might have been feeling a certain kind of way after last Tuesday, but I just won't give you my response to that. Is that all right?
Okay.
I want us to be mindful of something that's more important than the stuff that's going on around us. Is that all right? In Galatians chapter 5, and verse number 1, the Bible says there, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And then drop down with me to verse number 13, where the Apostle Paul says there, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another.
Right.
I want to talk to you this evening about freedom.
Okay.
Not the freedom we espouse as a resident of these United States. It's not about the freedom of coming or going. It's not the freedom of speech or freedom of action. It's not about freedom that comes from a sense of patriotism or loyalty or tradition or policy. This is the freedom that comes from knowing and understanding and possessing a sense of purpose. Not based on what man has done for himself, but what has been done for man. See, this freedom doesn't come from the governments of men, but from the kingdom of God. See, this is a freedom that can't be voted on or legislated or mandated. See, it's not about public policy. It's about personal, individual perfection. The Hebrew writer proclaims in Hebrews 6 and 1, let us go on unto perfection. In 1 John 4 and 12, the Bible says, if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is made perfect in us. The Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 5 and 10 reminds us, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, made you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. One of my favorite movies, they tried to do a remake, but I don't know why they want to. See, that movie was perfect. Why you don't mess with that movie? But one of my favorite movies is Ben-Hur. And there was a scene from that movie when Ben-Hur meets Pontius Pilate. And Pilate says to him, perfect freedom has no existence. The grown man knows the world he lives in. And for the present, the world is Rome. Well, one day, the government of Rome eventually fell. And long before it fell, the people of the world were given a new and different kind of freedom. See, this was the freedom that no earthly government could grant. This was citizenship in God's eternal kingdom. Now, that's a freedom we should not take for granted. See, it's liberty that's truly liberating. I started to call this sermon For Liberty, based on the scripture text in verse 1 of Galatians 5, but I chose instead the title For Freedom. See, in the New American Standard Bible, the verse reads, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. And so this should be our rallying cry, our anthem as we go on unto perfection, as laborers together with Christ, as children of God by faith in Christ Jesus for freedom. Is that all right?
Okay.
Now here in Galatians, the fifth chapter, Paul begins what some might refer to as the practical aspects concerning our Christian walk, our Christian faith, our Christian principles. In chapters 1 and 2, he deals with the historical aspects regarding the gospel of Christ and his own apostleship. In chapters 3 and 4, he deals with the scriptural aspects concerning the law of Moses and the covenant of promise. And now as he begins here in chapter 5, he reminds us to stand fast in the liberty or freedom in which Christ has made us free. But I want you to see this transition in verses 21 through 31 of Galatians chapter 4. Go back with me to Galatians chapter 4. I'm going to start at verse 21. Look what he says there. Tell me that ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory, it's symbolic, for these are the two covenants. The one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Paul contrasts several things here. Two covenants, an old that binds and a new that releases. Okay. Two women, Hagar, the bondwoman, and Sarah, the free woman, both bearing children, one a slave, the other free. Earthly Jerusalem in bondage to the law and legalism with heavenly Jerusalem and the freedom of the kingdom of God. And so he compels us now in this fifth chapter to stand fast, to hold firm, to remain steady. Remember who it is that freed you. Remember what it is you've been freed from, and remember the freedom and the liberty that you've obtained. See, you and I probably couldn't appreciate this. After all, we have the freedom to come and go as we please, to live and work and travel and eat where we want to. We have the freedom to think for ourselves and do for ourselves. Sometimes we even abuse those privileges. Okay. And somebody says, well, we got the right even to do that. Amen, somebody. Okay. But now I want you to think. Think of that bondman. Think of that prisoner incarcerated for some crime he or she has committed. Now, this person isn't innocent. They're guilty, and it's been proven. It's a fact, and no one can or will dispute it. They've been given a trial. The jury has spoken. The judgment handed down and the sentence carried out. Now they're languishing in prison. And it's 2 years. Now it's 10 years. Then 20. Then 30. Think about 30 years. The time spent. The freedom forgotten. The liberty lost. Now it's 40 years. And freedom is by now a long faded memory. But then a pardon is given. Freedom has been imposed. And you didn't even earn it. You didn't know it and you didn't expect it, but it's been granted unto you. Think about how that prisoner must feel. Imagine the doors of that prison opening in front of them after some 40 years. Looking out at places and directions and horizons they could only dream about. Imagine those first few steps out of that door as they look around at a world that for 40 years was denied them. Okay. Think about it. Could we even imagine what they must have felt? Now look again at verse 1 of Galatians 5. Like that prisoner, we weren't innocent. And we still aren't. Amen. Okay. The charges are true. And the righteous judge has given his verdict and promised his judgment. But we too have been set free. Pardon has been granted, and the judge and not the jailed has already paid the price. We can now stand and move and live and breathe the breath of freedom that only someone who understands what it means to be a prisoner can comprehend. Christ has made us free. And the liberty that we have is from something that has been done not only for us, but to us. Like those Galatians who Paul admonishes to remain free from the bondage of the law and legalism and continue to embrace the freedom that only comes through the saving power of Jesus Christ. You and I, we too need to stand fast. He says in Romans, the 8th chapter, in verses 1 and 2, that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. See, we've been freed from sin to be made free from sin. Now that'll come through in a minute. These Galatian Christians were drifting back to old traditions, old statutes, binding rules and regulations that became a yoke of bondage to those who had once been declared free in Christ Jesus. See, the freemen were choosing instead to become bondmen. And we too can be caught up in allowing the burden of sin to again entangle us. Now, in verses 19 through 21 of Galatians 5, see, we've seen this before. We see those works of the flesh that can hinder and complicate our freedom in Christ. Now, the works of the flesh, verse 19 of Galatians 5, the works of the flesh are these. There are manifest, which are these, rather, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. And it's always interesting to me how people will read these things and say, well, that ain't me, that ain't me, that ain't me. But how many of them can you check off? Amen, somebody. See, you might be able to escape a couple of them, but you won't be able to escape all of them. Amen, somebody. Verse 20, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresy. That's seditions now. Now, you got some folk that's going out in the street and they holding up signs and they rallying and screaming and hollering. That ain't my president. Well, see, you rallying against the government, essentially. Okay. The man is, whether you like it or not, commander in chief. Okay. And ain't nothing you gonna do to change that. But the idea of it is, if you understand where your freedom really comes from, see, you don't have to walk a picket line. You don't need a picket sign. You just need to walk in the light of that Jesus Christ has provided in the freedom that you and I now have in him. Amen, somebody. See, we need to understand. Look at this, verse 21. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. See, the works of the flesh, if we allow them, can again ensnare us, entrap us, and encompass us. But Paul reminds us to stand fast, to shun the shackles of sin, and put off the propensity for perversion, and cast off the chains of conformity, and stand fast. We've been freed for freedom. See, Christ has freed us from the bondage of sin, the control of sin, the captivity of sin. He says in verse 16, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's for freedom for which Christ has made us free. We have the freedom now of choice to walk the straight and narrow way. We have the freedom of will to deny self and walk in newness of life. And we have the freedom of responsibility to practice this freedom, this liberty in service to others. In verse 13 of our text, he says again, for brethren, we've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. If you're going to live by the law, well, but understand how Christ has made it so easy. He says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. See, if you allow the mess that's going on to consume you, you're putting shackles on your feet. You're placing yourself in a cage, a self-created cage of bondage. See, you allow yourself to become entangled in the yoke of bondage. But Paul says, stay free. Paul says, you've been freed for freedom. Christ has freed you to be able to move about in this world as a child of God. He's freed you from the bondage of sin. He's freed you to the extent that now you can understand the difference between the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. You ever wonder why when you go in the store and you see fruit laid out and you want to know where it is? Maybe you're walking into the store for the first time and you say, you don't say, where's the fruit section? You say, where's the produce section? Think about that word, produce. Think about the connotation of it. Fruit is something that's produced. Amen? But this sin, see, the works of the flesh, that's something you do. But the fruit of the Spirit is something that's produced. See, when you're freed for freedom, you have the opportunity to produce those fruits of the Spirit. But if you just want to labor over here in the law, you want to linger over here, you want to be a slave to sin, then guess what? You work in your way into a grave and a tomb of spiritual death. He says, stand therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again in a yoke of bondage. And what else should you do with this freedom? In verse 13, he says, use not this liberty as an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. This is the response to our understanding of this freedom. For freedom, we must love one another. For freedom, we must serve one another. For freedom, we must trust in God, and we must respond to the call of freedom. Paul tells the Galatians in verses 26 through 28 of Galatians 3, for you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. For freedom's sake, stand fast. For freedom's sake, stay faithful. For freedom's sake, stay focused. And for freedom's sake, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Y'all don't have to worry about who's in the White House. You worry about that house, that mansion that he's promised you. Amen. He's in my Father's house. Are many mansions. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. I go now to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Stand fast in that liberty. Stand fast in the freedom. God has everything under his control. In his mind, it don't matter. Amen? See, I tell my wife all the time, with you, it's mind over matter. You don't mind, so it don't matter. But you got to understand, that's sort of how God works. It don't mind. It don't matter. Okay. So he don't mind. Right. See, it don't matter who it is. Right. It just matters who he is. Right. Don't spend all your time trying to learn all you want to about the president. Find out who Jesus is. Make him the candidate for your life. He has all the answers. He's got the only platform that's going to give you prosperity. Okay. We're talking about spiritual prosperity. Amen. And guess what? Trump's just a chump. They're going to dump when they get through with him. If you're here tonight and you want to obey God, come hearing and believing his gospel. Come repenting of your sins, confessing him as Lord, be baptized for the remission of your sins. Come out of that baptismal pool, a new creature in Jesus Christ, free to walk in the freedom wherewith Christ has made us free. And if you're here and you're a member of the body of Christ, remember what Paul admonishes us to do, to stand fast wherewith in the freedom wherewith Christ has made us free. Do not be caught again in the yoke of bondage. And if you're struggling with that, we'll pray for you and with you as we together stand and sing. In the name of invitation.